Well, hey, good morning. If you are joining us online, we want to say good morning to you as well. So that song was kind of wrecking me on the inside, and I wonder, what would our lives and our world be like if what we just sang was really true in our lives? Not just a little bit, but like really, really true. What if while we're singing this song and we're singing, Lord, I want to know you more, I surrender all. Not a little bit, not halfway, not mostly, but what would our lives look like? Really, each and every one of us, whether you're here or you're there, what would your life look like? What would my life look like if we really would say, Lord, I surrender all to you? Do you know God wants his very best for us? Really? God wants his absolute very best for every single one of us. Do you believe that? Well, that best comes out of surrender. That best comes out of a relationship that we have with God. That best actually flows out of an obedient relationship with God when we start doing what God says to do and living according to God's ways, because he does know best and he wants the best for us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it's not going to be on the screen, but I, while I was just listening to this song and I'm saying, God, I really want to surrender all to you. I was just taken back to this verse, 2 Timothy 3:16, that says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. What's wrong in our lives? What's wrong in our world? What's wrong everywhere? It corrects us when we're wrong. What corrects us when it's wrong? When we're wrong? His word. Both his written word, his living word, Jesus, the Holy Spirit living in us. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. My friends, God wants the very best for us. He wants the best for our world. He wants the best, the very best for all people. And that, I will propose to you, continues, and is ultimately finished when we sing and say, Lord, I surrender all to you, and we really mean it. All. Everything. So we have been on this journey working our way through the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Wise saying, wisdom that's designed to teach us exactly what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. To tell us what's right, what's wrong, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, how we should live, how we shouldn't live. And it lays this out for us in really kind of short, concise statements that, as I've shared throughout this message series, what I truly believe is our problem is not so much the interpretation, because it's pretty clear. But our challenge is in the application, actually doing what it says to do and to not do. And so we have been journeying through it. We began last summer. We took a little break for Christmas, for Advent. And so we picked it back up after the first of the year. And we're going to continue this till about halfway through February. And then I'm going to tell you what we're going to be doing a little bit later on. But we're in this series on Proverbs, discovering how to truly be God's people. How to truly live according to and in surrender to and in obedience to what God says to do and to not do, how to live and how not to live. Y'all, I truly believe with all my heart that the more we would allow God's word to speak to us, to dwell in us, to live through us, the better our world would be. Not just our lives, but the better our world would be. And we all have to admit, our world's a mess right now, isn't it? Like everywhere we look, there is chaos, there is turmoil, there is conflict. You're either for or against, in or out. Like, we are just a mess. And again, I truly believe the more we would surrender who we are to God, the better our world would be. So today, we're going to talk about a difficult topic. We're going to talk about what the Bible has to say, as much as I can in the short amount of time that we have today, to talk about vengeance. Not justice, but vengeance. We're going to look at what is it? What does God's word say about it? What does the Bible say is God's part, and what is our part? Because again, I think that we as a people need to live in this place of obedience to God's word, because he wants the best for us. And so as we continue to do that, we'll have a better life and our world would be a better place. So today we're in chapter 24. If you've been reading Proverbs, I appreciate that. I heard from someone this week of where God spoke to him in the midst of that. That is awesome. This next week, I'm encouraging you to read Proverbs chapter 25 and just see where God wants to talk to you. But I was looking through this, and as I was preparing this message, there are so many places in here that I could have gone with, places that I thought, wow, that's really powerful. That speaks to me. But I kind of honed in on a couple places. We're going to look today at verses 17 and 18 and then 28 and 29, because I think they're very intimately and closely connected. So we're going to read those, and then we're going to talk again about what is vengeance, what does God's word say about it, and how are we supposed to live in the midst of this. So Proverbs chapter 24, verses 17 and 18 says this. Again, God wants the best for us. I want you to keep that in mind as we read this. Don't rejoice when your enemies fall. Okay, how many wish that wasn't there? Come on, right? Because what are we as people? Like, yeah, they got it. God's word says, don't rejoice when your enemies fall. Don't be happy when they stumble. For the Lord will be displeased with you and will turn his anger away from them. You heard what he said, right? His anger is going to be turned away from them. Let's keep going. Next slide, please. Don't testify against your neighbors without cause. Don't lie about them. Good basic biblical things, right? Do not lie. It's in the Big Ten. We all know that. But then this. And don't say, now I can pay them back for what they've done to me. I'll get even with them. All right, confession time. You don't have to hold your hand up, because just your snickers and kind of the heads. Like, we've all been there, right? We've all been in this place that we've been like, I'm going to get them back. And they're going to regret what they did. I'm going to pay them back. I'm going to get even with them. Here's the short Cliff Notes summary of today's message. It's not your job. It's not your job. You get to let that go. It's not your job to get back at them. We, though, as people, we like to get back, don't we? We want to get even. We want to say, I get to pay you back now for what you did. I'm going to get even with you. The Bible calls that vengeance. Payback is vengeance. And vengeance, y'all, is not a good thing. Vengeance is an injured party's desire for retribution, retaliation, or repayment on account of an injury or an offense. That's kind of a basic dictionary definition of what vengeance is. It's just pay. I'm going to retaliate. Retribution, you're going to get it. I'm going to pay you back. But again, what we discover in God's word is that's not our job. Now, there's freedom in that, and there's surrender in that, right? There's trust in that, believing that God's going to take care of it, and there is challenge in that because we don't always get to see it. But what we can be assured of is that God takes care of it. Now, God's word has so much to say to us about how we're to treat one another. God's word has so much to say about how we're supposed to treat one another. And in this area of vengeance, it's big. It's really big because the only way that we could actually do this is if we move in this place of surrender, all of giving it back to God, not retaliating, having no retribution, no revenge. We don't get to do that. It's not our job. It's God's job. So I want to briefly talk with you this morning about what God's word says about vengeance, and again, what it says God's role of this is, and what our role not is, but isn't. So here's the first thing I want you to know. Vengeance is God's job. It is his job. He reserves for himself the right to avenge. It's his job. It's not ours. Vengeance is God's job. Psalm 94, verse 1 says, "O Lord," check that out, "the God of vengeance, let your glorious justice shine forth." Scripture is really clear. Our God is, among many things, he is a God of vengeance. He is the God who will take care of it. He is the one who makes things right. He is the one who is just. Now, God places people in authority and places of responsibility to administer justice. We see this in Romans chapter 13 and in other places. But justice isn't the same thing as vengeance. Vengeance is paying back. Vengeance is getting even. It's not balancing things out. It's getting even. But vengeance is God's job. Nahum 1, 2, and 3. "The Lord is a jealous God, filled with vengeance and rage." Like, had you ever thought that our God might be like that? But why is he a God who's filled with vengeance and rage? "He takes vengeance on all who oppose him and continues to rage against his enemies." This is not the people who love God. It's the ones who are his enemies, the ones who are against him. "The Lord is slow to get angry." That's really great news for us too. "But his power is great, and he never lets the guilty go unpunished." Gosh, if there is something you might really need to hear today, based on what you've been reading, thinking, reflecting on, is that statement. Is that he never lets the guilty go unpunished. Now, the good news of the gospel is that he is fair and just. He will forgive us all of our sins as we confess those to him. But it says that God will take care of that. It's God's job. Because you see, God is the ultimate judge, not us. God is the ultimate judge. Psalm 75:7 says, "It is God alone who judges. He decides who will rise and who will fall." It's his job. He is the one who is judge. John 8:50, "God is the final, the true judge," we're told. James 4:12, "God alone who gave the law is the judge." He alone, see that word again, right? Alone. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? See, here's what we have to understand. All justice is ultimately in the hand and the heart of God. And vengeance is not our job. And what we're going to see in just a minute is that when we become vengeful, spiteful, retaliation kind of people, do you know who it really hurts? Us. It's not good for us. And remember what I asked you at the beginning? What do you think God wants for us? The very best, right? He wants the best for us. That means there's stuff, y'all, we gotta let go. That pithy little saying, let go and let God, is true. There's stuff we gotta figure out how to let go. Let God do his stuff. Again, this isn't justice. That's a whole different topic. What we're talking about today is this idea of vengeance, this desire, this place inside of us that wants to retaliate, that wants revenge, that wants to get back at somebody. It's God's job. He is the ultimate judge. And here's what we know for sure. When we read all of Scripture, we discover that God never takes vengeance from impure motives. Like, our God is not some capricious God who's like, I'm just going to get them today. I'm just going to go after them. That would be an impure motive. But God never acts from an impure motive. That he never takes vengeance from that place of sin, because God is without sin. Because you see, the vengeance of God is not some irrational burst of divine anger, but rather the exercise of divine justice. God's vengeance is therefore a righteous expression of his justice. Now, where does that become applicable? If you've ever been a student of the Old Testament, you are going to come across some passages in the Old Testament where God says, destroy them. Wipe them out. God has told them what to do. This is God's job, right? He has told us what to do. And we're going to read that sometimes and go, oh my gosh, that is so hard for me to get. Well, what we have to understand is God knows the whole story. God knows everything. And he never takes vengeance from an impure motive because he's all-knowing. There's stuff that we don't know. There's stuff when we look at those Old Testament passages that Scripture can't contain everything, right? But what it contains is what's sufficient for us to know. And we can read in places in the Old Testament that are tough for us. And what we have to come back to realize is there's stuff God knows that we don't know. But God doesn't work out of impure motives because he is a just God. So if God is the one who judges, if it's truly his job, because he is the true judge, because he is the only one who can do it without impure motives, what we have to realize is that the Bible tells us to never take revenge. When we take revenge, we're putting ourselves in God's place. Now think about that. If the Scriptures, if the Bible says don't do it, and we do it, what are we doing? We're saying, well, I'll take care of this, God. We're putting ourselves in God's place. We're taking the vengeance, and God says, no, you don't get to do that because you're not me. And I don't really need your help with that either, because we like to do that. God, I'll help you out on this one, right? No, we don't get to do that. Ooh, this came up in Mark's Sunday school, Mark and Susan's Sunday school class. We were talking about this a little bit this morning, and this amazing realization. I said, I'm so glad that you guys talked about this, because I want you to hear what I'm going to actually say this morning. And here's why. The Bible says to never take revenge, because when we take revenge, we're putting ourselves in God's place. And here's why. When you or I attempt to avenge ourselves to get back, right? The problem is we can't do it without bringing sin into it. We tend to do it with a wicked spirit of vindictiveness and revenge. God does it because that's not part of him. But we can't, right? I mean, just even the tone with which we say it or think it, I'm going to get you back. God doesn't do that. God's a just judge. The ultimate one true judge. And so he gets to execute this vengeance, this punishment, because he's pure. And he does it without the spite and all that stuff that we don't get to do. There's a divine prohibition against us taking vengeance. If we take vengeance, we're doing what God says not to do. We call that disobedience. Romans 12, verses 19 and 20 through 21, which is actually, there's a segment in here that's a direct reference to Deuteronomy 32, 35 and Hebrews 10, 30. It's repeated. Dear friends, this is the Apostle Paul. Like, read his story. Discover that if there's anybody that we in our humanness think, he should get back at them because of all the stuff they did to him, because we can read his story and we discover that he was beat more times, put in prison more times, was hungry more times. Like, it is hard to be Paul. But he says, never, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals of shame on their hearts, on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. It's where we get this expression, kill them with kindness. That's hard. Nobody said it was going to be easy. Because God wants the best for us. And we fight with this sin inside of us that makes it hard. But the more we surrender, y'all, the easier it gets. Because then we understand God for who he is, right? And we can, no matter what's happening in our world and our lives, we get to say, okay, I know I need to do my part. God might even be calling me to do this part, to say this part, to do what have. But ultimately, God's got this. Because you can go to Revelations 20, 21. He's won. The end of the story's been written. We got to struggle with it here and now. And as I said, this is not justice. We could go to, this was Romans chapter 12. If you go to Romans chapter 13, it talks about how God has placed people in authority to execute his justice. But God gives people to do that, the ability to do that. That's not something we just get to take on ourselves either. 1 Peter 3:9, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. This is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that hard? Maybe you're even going, no way. It's possible. God is the one who makes the impossible possible. When we surrender, the more we really do that song, the more we can do that. The more it's not an obstacle, but it's an opportunity for us. The more we don't have to step away, but we get to step in and we're like, yeah, I don't have to trade insults with you. I don't have to argue with you over that. I'm going to be kind to you. I'm going to be loving to you. See, God's love is seen in our ability to love and forgive. To love and forgive. Y'all, this is so hard. Because I think that we have all been products of this worldview that has taught us that if someone does something to you, what are you supposed to do? Get them back. We have all been convinced that we got to step into that fight. We don't need to step into most of the fights that we even get ourselves involved in. When it moves to a place of vengeance, revenge, retaliation, retribution, y'all, that hurts us more than it hurts them. And it doesn't help the situation. It makes it worse. So God calls us. Remember what I said just a minute ago? That God's word has a lot to say about how we're supposed to treat one another. Look what the golden rule, right? Matthew 7, 12. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. That's assuming you're not messed up. Right? Like, we're do to others the way that we would like them to do to us. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that no one pays back evil good, pays evil for evil, but always Say it. Always try to do good to each other and to all people. Y'all, I know this is not easy. How many times have I said that? This is not easy. But the more we surrender, the easier it gets. Don't repay, because God's love is seen in our ability to love and forgive. Or as Romans 12:18 just summarizes it, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. It says do all you can. Most of us can do a whole lot more than we've tried. Most of us need to stop arguing with five-year-olds who work with us. We need to do all we can to live in peace with one another. And that, I will again contend to you, happens the more we surrender. I'm so glad that Isaiah chose this song for us to sing, because it sets the stage for us to discover God's best for us by surrender, by giving it all to God. So God's love is seen in our ability to love and forgive. And then this, there is never a fitting time to seek revenge, because God will always bring about justice for his people. Remember I said at the beginning, it's not our job, it's God's job, because he is the true judge, the ultimate judge, that we can't do it without bringing sin into the picture. So there's never a fitting time to seek revenge, because God will always bring about justice for his people. Matthew 5:38-39, you have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. We spent a lot of time talking about that one. But that sense of, it's not our job to dole that out. Because you see, causing another person harm will never undo the harm we have already endured. Let me say that again. Causing another person harm will never undo the harm we have already endured. The desire for revenge is natural, but it is something that we must offer to God. So it's something that we all have, right? If somebody does something else, there's just something natural inside of us, and I would actually say the naturalness is the sinfulness in us. Now, there's a righteousness that we want things to be just, right? I mean, we want the guilty to go punished, and they should go punished. That's very clear in Scripture. But us, ourselves, taking out revenge or vengeance on someone is never acceptable in God's word. And I know how hard that is, because there are so many things in life that we just have to die to, that we say, that's not my job. I don't get to do that, because I can't do that without bringing sin into the picture. And when I bring sin into the picture, you know who's going to hurt most? Me. I have to trust that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I could ever ask or even think or even imagine. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. You see, we don't have to carry anger, bitterness, resentment, and revenge. In fact, we dare not. We dare not. Jesus warned us that an unforgiving heart will destroy us in the end. So I don't know what you've come in here with today, or what you're watching today. I don't know if there is this anger, or there's this spirit of resentment or revenge that maybe has been boiling up inside of you. This place that you have this desire that you just want to pay somebody back for either something they've done to you or something they've done to somebody you love and care about, or just stuff that they've done. I want to share with you that there is freedom in releasing that to God. knowing that our God is a just God. Our God is the one who will deal out the vengeance, not from an impure motive, but from a place that only He can do. When we are holding stuff in like that, the only one it's hurting is us. But it is also hurting the ones around us. So I want to invite you to do something this morning. I want to invite you, whether you're in here or you're watching online, I just want us to enter a time of prayer. Because again, I think our world right now is chaotic. It is troublesome. Oh my gosh, there's just so much going on. And so much of it, like, there's not a lot you can do. But you know what you can do, that you can start to do, is to surrender all. To position yourself before this Almighty God and say, I'm going to surrender all of who I am to all of who you are. Have your way in me. The words that we sang to this song are so incredibly powerful. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Lord, have your way in me. See, I believe as we begin to do that, the ripple effect that it can have in our families and in our work environments and in our schools and in our community and in our state and in our nation and in our world is powerful. So when we think there's not a lot I can do, actually there's a whole lot that we can do. We can start here and say, Lord, I surrender to you. Let's pray. Lord, we want to know you more. Lord, with arms stretched wide, we want to know that you hear our cries. We pray, oh God, that you would speak to us now. Lord, we surrender to you. Would you help us, oh God, to break down every wall, every barrier, every attitude, every emotion, every perspective, every thought that is keeping us from doing that. You have told us that your word, and we believe every single word of your word, is there for us to teach us, to encourage us, to move us, to inspire us, to even rebuke us when we're moving in a direction that is not good for us, our families, our world, our communities. So God, would, in the silence in this moment, Lord, would you hear our cries? We surrender all to you. Have your way, oh God. Have your way in us. Father, we thank you that as we invite you to do a work in us, that you respond, that you come. You allow us to do what we cannot do on our own because you are with us. Your Holy Spirit inspires us and moves us and empowers us to be the men and women that you created us to be. And so, God, as we surrender to you, allow us to experience the abundant eternal life that you have come to give us. Lord, would you come and reign in us? Reign in us so that we might be a mirror that reflects you to this world, to this desperate, hurting, broken, chaotic mess of a world, but a world that you love, for a people that you love, that you gave your life for. So Lord, reign in us fully and completely. Come, Lord Jesus, do this work in us, we pray. In the mighty and powerful name of Jesus, amen. Would you stand? We're going to sing another song.
As we continue to respond together, let's just sing this chorus of I Surrender before we continue. I surrender.
I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you.
One more time, I surrender.
I surrender. I surrender.